Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Capri. I hail all the way from North New Jersey. I'm the author of the Pussy Trap series, Trust No Bitch series, and my latest book under G Street Chronicles, Tainted Lies, Fear, and Death. You can holler at me at NeneCapri.com. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as NeneCapri. I'm coming to a library near you. Trapping.
Yes, that's the boss lady herself. You know, in addition to Tainted, Lies, Fear, and Death, she had a new one coming out this summer called the P-Trap 5. That is the much-anticipated release, and it's going to clear up so many things in that series from 1 to 4. So make sure you guys tune in. Stay tuned. Keep your cyber eyes peeled for P-Trap 5, and that's actually dropping this summer, right around July. In August, but just keep your eyes peeled and we will let you know. She's been putting the link down. You can pre-order your copy on Amazon.com right about now. Once again, that is the P-Trap 5 by the one and only Nene Capri. It's available for pre-order. Hey, everybody, it is Tuesday night. It is time to talk that talk on all things sports here on the scoreboard. We are your radio tailgate party, presented by Real Raw Radio and the boss lady herself, Nene Capri. Now, I'm going to be joined shortly by the guys, Mr. Jazz Scoreboard and Mr. Louis Mack, our stat guru, going to come up in here and join me shortly. But I'm going to go ahead and do some house cleaning while the guys get themselves situated. We come to you guys live every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern here on Blog Talk Radio. Now, we have some awesome sponsors that sponsor our show. Nene Capri presents the Iron Throne magazine. Keep your eyes peeled for that and get your copy of that latest magazine. Fleet DJs of the ATL, the Britain Network, 1K Media Group, and Media Vision 848. And we also sponsor by Young Urban American Group and my baby, Book Right Editing. So be sure to pick up some heat that's coming out of Nene's camp on Amazon Nook, audiobooks, and everywhere books are sold. You want to get caught up for the much-anticipated Part 5, like I told you at the top of the show, start one. And before you know it, you are going to be ready for Part 5 because that's what an awesome read it is. That's some heat right there from Nene Capri. And she also has the Trust No Bitch series that she co-wrote with Cash Streetlit author, Dreamweaver, Diamonds, Pumps, and Glocks. She actually co-wrote that with the beautiful authoress Black. Now, in addition to Nene's book, she has some awesome reads under Nene Capri Presents. She has some phenomenal authors over there. She has The Wrath by author Rance McNeil, The Black Knight, and Sinful Lust by the beautiful Imani the Black Widow. And we also have Devious Deception by S. Chameleon. That's part one as well as part two. So make sure you get those into your library. And in addition to those books by Nene Capri Presents, we also have some wonderful books under Reese World Publishing. We have that Truth, Love, Truth, and Consequences by author Tasha DeMay. Make sure you pick that up. That's part one and two as well. And we have Black Rose. She has an awesome book. I actually love her pen. She has a nice, nice pen. So make sure you pick those up. Head on over to Amazon.com. You can also check out my page, Miss Toni Trina Franklin, as well as Nene Capage. Under Nene Capri Presents, she is branded all over the place, as well as my partner in all things literature, the wonderful Miss Alicia. She actually co-hosts with me on Let's Chat. We come to you guys live every Thursday and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern time. So I'm just going to play some music. You know, we never get to play any music when the guys are up in here because they come in here like a bull and just throw me all off. So I'm going to just go ahead and play some music. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Let's do some Boss Chick. I'm a Boss Chick, and I'm going to be right back in just a hot second. Hold on, guys.
Hey, these motherfuckers ain't really understanding me out here, man. My name is motherfucking Boss Chick. There's no female out there that can see me. What the fuck is wrong with y'all?
Look, I'll be riding with them pros.
Okay.
357 bitch Magnum. Coupe looking sick, real handsome. Never gotta get my hair dirty. Maybe I'll get that Bentley. Maybe I'll get the Phantom. Thanks on all my ammo, baby. What game is banana? Maybe I'm off that drunk. Maybe I'm off that dough. Maybe I'm on the low with several females trained to go. This is my land, my turf. No, sir, we do the most. I'm from the town where killers seem to be the thing. Wait, no, catch me off some gators. Catch me down in Vegas. Catch me in the A until I get up off these tapes. They had me down in Clayton. 7 years up in the sink. Some bitch ass nigga broke the code. Stop snitching. Oh, baby, room. That's my baby. All I do is me. So the more money, more hate. Maybe I'm about that life. Maybe I'm flat to twice. Maybe I'm in the hood shooting CeeLo second date. Trying to come up major. From the block to the scraper. Whether now or it's later. Already been famous. If you dream it, keep on dreaming. Till one day it is a fact. A nigga mind over everything. Step some shit like that.
Put a time
of five. You know what I mean?
We out here. I tell these niggas.
Motherfucker, I'm in this
place.
Down. I'm in my people. This is what the fuck we do.
Yeah,
man, that's what you're about, motherfucker. Let's go.
Bitch, I'm about.
You see? Everybody out here want to be one thing. I am what I am.
It's the one and only the boss lady, Nene Capri. I hail all the way from North New Jersey. I'm the author of the Pussy Trap series, Trust No Bitch series, and my latest book under G Street Chronicles, Tainted Lies, Fear, and Death. You can holler at me at NeneCapri.com. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as Nene Capri. I'm coming to a library near you. Trapping.
Yes, welcome back, welcome back. Once again, this is Toni. You're listening to the Schoolboy Live. And we just heard some music by the one and only Mr. Boss Chick. I'm a Boss Chick is the name of it. I think I'm going to apply that to me. What you think, Jazz?
You know, I like that. That joint was hot. That joint was hot. Absolutely. I'm digging that. Word up. What's going on? What's
How
happening?
You doing, buddy?
I missed a lot. I'm doing well. What's happening with
yeah.
you? I missed a lot. Huh?
You know, I'm riding solo. That's what you do with it. That's what you do to me. Sister got a sister riding solo, so I had to do the Boss Chick thing.
Yo, you good? You good? Y'all bossing out? Y'all bossing out? Who am I to? I can't stop your flow. Hey, do your thing.
Yes, yes. Once again, I got my partner in all things sports, Mr. Jazz Scoreboard, in the clubhouse. We are getting ready to talk that talk on all things sports, because, Jazz, there's a lot going on in the sports world. It's just that time of year. Actually,
no,
it's
no.
sports across the board. So, you know, you start us off. Give us what's going on in the boxing wrestling world.
Well, we had a lot happening. You know what I'm saying? I forgot to put y'all down and tell y'all that Sean Porter was fighting Andre Berto. I didn't find out till Saturday Saturday, by 7 o'clock, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, damn, there's a fight on tonight. So I should have told you guys, it was a good fight. Dupree, it was on, it was a Showtime fight. The undercard fight was Jermell Charlo versus this cat named Hantley, if I'm not mistaken. Yo, you gotta YouTube this, people. Charlo might right now. I know it's only April, but right now, that fight, Charlo might have, he got a candidate for knockout of the year in that fight, dude. He hit dude with a right hand. Dude was unconscious before he hit the mat. Word is life.
Wow.
Real talk. Then in
his
the
name
main
is
event,
Charlo?
Charlo. Jermell Charlo. Yo, the knockout was serious. And then the main event was Sean Porter versus Andre Berto. The fight had a lot to be desired. There was a lot of headbutts initiated by Porter. He had so many headbutts that in the post fight interview, he basically was like, "Yeah, I know I got to work on the headbutts." So that's very telling. And because he won the fight, he has a rematch with Keith Thurman. And I really don't want to see that fight. People, if they make that fight, if you really want to watch that fight, it's fine. If you want to skip that, I ain't even mad at you because I might skip it. I might look at UFC that night. But this weekend, people, look, let's be clear. This weekend, Klitschko is fighting Joseph for the heavyweight championship of the world.
Whoa.
People, if you don't watch, you got to watch this. But the only caveat to that is it's in England. So it comes on early. Showtime is showing the fight at 4:15 p.m., middle of the afternoon. So I'm going to try to catch it. I'm going to try to catch it. But, you know, for people, 4 p.m., that's not boxing time right there. You know, 10, 11 o'clock is boxing time. So
and that's 4:15
p.m. Yes, that's Saturday. And it's a Showtime. Now, they're supposed to show it on HBO. I'm not sure when. HBO might show it the same time Showtime showing it. I don't know. So you might have to check your local listings for that on the pay-per-view to find out. And it's actually not going to be a pay-per-view. It's going to be on Showtime and on HBO. So you might want to check your cable provider to find out when they're going to show it on Saturday. But it's going to be a great fight. I expect for Klitschko, 41 years old. But Joshua hadn't really fought anybody. But I like Joshua got that power, and Klitschko hadn't fought in a year and a half, so I'm gonna take Joshua now. I'm gonna take Joshua.
Really?
By decision.
I don't know. I've seen Klitschko fight. I don't know, Jazz. You going with the young cat? You going with the young one?
Man. Yo, he got that power. I mean, Klitschko ain't fought in a year and a half, so. If Klitschko had fought 8 months ago, I would think differently. I mean, last time he fought, he was 39. You know, 39, maybe 40. I mean, come on, it's been a while. So, I got
to
go with the young
cat. Conditioning, though. I'm going with Klitschko.
But
I'm going with him. I go against the grain.
Well, Klitschko was a bet. I mean, for those of you who bet, I'm not condoning that, but if you are going to lay a little money on it, Klitschko got the odds in his favor. Klitschko got the odds, so Joshua's favored. So the money going with Joshua. So, you know, if you want to, you know, lace a little money on that, you could take Klitschko. And you probably could, you know, win a couple of dollars.
Well, you know, I'm going to win the whole jackpot. I'm going with Klitschko. I'm going with the experience. I've seen Big Boy fight.
Okay.
That's actually one person I've seen in the heavyweight. But, Jazz, you know I always go against the grain, so why stop now?
That's fine. Look, I'm with you. You know, just hope that, you know, hope that we don't talk next Tuesday and you'll be like, yo. That's right. Okay, you was right. That young dude, he got some. He punched them all in the face and all that. You know what
like
I mean?
You
know,
You got that one. So
yeah,
don't forget,
you know,
guys, tune in on Saturday.
Absolutely.
At 4:15 in the afternoon. See who comes out to win, me or Jazz.
And also, like I said, HBO was going to play it too. I just don't know what time. So, excuse me. They haven't really settled on the time yet, so. Check with HBO to see what time they're showing it. But both HBO and Showtime are supposed to show it. So that's one of the rare times where you're going. Yeah, absolutely. So what's going on with you, baby?
I'm doing good, keeping busy. You know, I got a lot going on over here in this camp of mine. I actually just got in because today we had a cocktail party. It's Staff Appreciation Day.
Nice.
So I'm ready. You know, they had the food flowing. It'll finish up tomorrow, so I'm in a good mood. I'm feeling good, Jazz.
Had the food flowing, had the drinks pouring. Don't let her front, people. You know she was getting it in. You know. She caught the train, so you know she was getting it in. So before we do basketball, because that is the hot thing right now, what do you think about Adrian Peterson signing with the New Orleans Saints?
I think it's a good fit for them. I really do. I mean, it broke this afternoon. I think he was getting about $7 million, something around that neighborhood.
Yeah,
but,
$7 million over 2 years.
You know, I don't know.
3.5 a year. No bonus, just straight up. Just straight up 3.5.
He is coming off a knee injury and everything, but I think it'd be a good fit. It makes sense.
I mean, he hadn't played in almost 2 years.
I'm glad he landed somewhere.
So. Yeah. I mean, well, you know, I mean, the biggest thing is, you know, besides the fact that he hadn't played in a year and a half, 2 years, is, you know, if his body is fresh, you know, they already have Mark Ingram. So is this, and I'm going to ask you guys, is this an indication of the Saints slowing down a little bit, maybe becoming more ball control? Do you run AP? Do you run Ingram? You got Hightower still in the mix. Excuse me, if I'm not mistaken, you got Candidate. I think Candidate's still with him. So you got 4 or 5 running backs. I mean, they lost. Of course, they lost to New England. They brought in Ted Ginn Jr. from San Fran. I mean, they got a couple of guys, but nobody that you could really fear. I mean, besides Fleener at tight end. So, is this an indication of, and they did pick up a guard in the offseason. So, is this an indication of New Orleans slowing down, you know, becoming more ball control? What do you think?
It's going to be interesting. I know Mr. Louis Mack wants to get in and weigh in on that. So, let me just bring him to the clubhouse.
Absolutely.
Hey, Louis,
what's
how
up,
you doing?
Guys?
Yo, what's
happening?
Good.
What's happening?
Hey, you know, just out here grinding. Got to do our thing, right?
I feel you.
Yeah.
So now, did you hear the question?
I did hear the question. Look, here's the thing. I don't. You're assuming that AP's got anything left in the tank to show that he's even remotely what he used to be. I'm not sure he does. Coming off of some major injuries, coming off of major, you know, usage out of Minnesota, I don't know if he's still got it. And I think we see it in the K, the fact that there's no bonus, there's really no, you know, it's just minimum money. You know, I don't think he's still got it. I think it's going to be kind of a set like Emmitt Smith after he leaves the Cowboys and tries to hold on for a little bit.
Yeah.
I think that's what we're about to see.
The Cardinals,
And as long as Drew Brees and Michael Thomas, because you forgot Michael Thomas there, buddy, when you were talking
Michael Thomas
is a good threat on the outside. And Willie Sneed's pretty good, too. Don't forget about him. Honestly, I think this is the Saints getting ready because they know that because of the moves they made paying Drew Brees all his money and some of the other moves paying people money and stuff, that they just don't have the cap flexibility to really do anything. So this is them just accepting the fact that they're screwed until the cap situation fixes itself with Drew Brees retiring and all of this. So they're doing what they can to make it look like they're trying, but I don't really think they're really expecting too much out of anybody.
Wow. Would you agree with that, Ms. Dolan?
I'm going to flip that because, you know, even though he hasn't played, that means he hasn't – there's a lot of feedback. I'm not sure who Mike is coming from. But there's a lot of you know, there's a year and a half, 2 years of usage on his body that he hasn't endured that other football players. And that plays a role, too. So I like the move. You know, they're getting a Hall of Famer at a discounted price. So why not take it? But they may be gearing up for the future, but I'm sure he's going to come in there with a chip on his shoulder trying to make some waves just to show that he still has it.
I mean, he is everything that, you know, he was, and he may have had 2 years off of his body to rest up and to, but you got to think he missed last year because of an injury, not because he was just out of football, because he got hurt. That's rehab time, that time in the gym trying to get back to where he's supposed to be. You know, mm-hmm. The year before with the whole child, you know, abuse thing, you know, that's relaxing time other than, you know, just staying in the gym, staying in shape. That's not taking a beating. But, I mean, he's 31. And running back in the NFL, especially guys who got used that heavily in their career and have that kind of workload, they don't last long. He's 31,
yeah.
Coming off an injury. I don't think he's got much left in the tank.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you think this may be his last year?
I'd like to say it is. I mean, for his sake, because his body's already showing signs of breaking down, and there's no reason to keep putting yourself through that. I don't understand why he's going to the Saints, though. Like, if he wanted the one last hurrah to try to win a ring, why are you going to New Orleans? Like, why are you going?
Let me say this. I think that New Orleans made sense because New Orleans were probably the only one who gave him a concrete offer. Nobody else was willing to pay him $8 to $10 million is what he thought he was going to get in the beginning. And now he's just like, look, it's almost a draft. After the draft, I know I'm not going to get a contract. So let me just take this 3.5, and I'm still in the league. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm opposite. At that point, he should have just waited till training camp and waited for somebody to get hurt. And then come in, work out for a contender, or work out for a team who thinks they're a contender, that they might just be, you know, a solid running back, a guy who can, you know, carry the ball 10, 15 times for him and be semi-productive, away from making a good run. Like, I really thought he was going to be a great fit for, like, a Green Bay, maybe even a Seattle type, where they've got other guys to kind of give them a break, but they're still good enough to compete. Green Bay, they just really need a decent running back to be, you know, solid again. Or even taking LeGarrette Blount's spot in New England. I mean, those are all places that he could have easily gone to and competed for a championship this year, had he waited 4 or 5 more months in that
room. And also, you know, just one last thing to, you also got to ask yourself, you know, maybe they looked at his knee and during a physical, maybe an informal physical and was like, yo, yeah, we don't like what we see. Yeah, we're going to pass on that.
Oh, well, there's not a deal that gets made in any professional sport without some kind of medical report and medical testing and physical getting done. I mean, that could be it. New Orleans was the only team willing to, you know, at this point say, yeah, we're going to, you know, we'll take that risk. But he knows as a veteran player that some people are going to get hurt in training camp, and it's a sad part of life, and it sucks, but it happens every year. He could have held out 3 more months and got paid the same amount of money, but potentially go to a much better team where he gets a chance to compete, unless he really thinks he's got another 3 or 4 years left in his tank.
I mean, it's highly possible. Now, I wanted to ask you guys, because I know we're gonna go deep into basketball. We got a lot of things happening, but just real quick, I wanted to ask you guys. And again, you listen to the scoreboard with Miss Jazz, Miss Tony, Louie, Matt. Call in if you call in at 347-826-7011. Pressure one, you come in and join us. We're on a Tuesday rant session, so call in. I want to rant from you, by the way. But I wanted to know, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and I know we rarely have touched on NASCAR, but Dale Earnhardt announces retirement at the end of the season. I want to get a little feedback from you guys really quickly about Dale Earnhardt Jr. and what you think. Is he going to do it? Is he not going to do it? Whatever view you guys want to take on it.
I'm glad you brought it up, because I was going to bring it up also, because I heard that today. I think the news broke this afternoon. You know, he has a big following, Jazz, and I know that we, like you said, we don't talk about NASCAR a lot here on the show, but it's not that we can't talk about it. But I think it's good for him. He's coming off, some injuries, some concussions. He's not a spring chicken anymore, but he has a huge following, and I do wish him all the best. I don't know if you want to say it was a surprise. I watch it sometime because my husband likes to watch NASCAR every now and then, so I may look at it because it's on the TV, but he has a big following, so I think he's going to do it.
He should. I really thought he was going to retire last year, coming off of those bad concussions. I mean, he was concussed to the point that he couldn't even finish the season out because he was worried about making it worse and, messing up his long-term health. So I'm really surprised that he even got back in the car this year. He's already started making the transition into being a race team owner. He's got it, in the nationwide, which is kind of like the minor leagues. He's already, owning cars and racing cars. He might even have a car that races every now and then in the, now it used to be the Sprint Cup. Now I think it's the Monster Energy Cup. He's one of those guys, though, that, he has a big following. But, he got that following because of his dad. So, it sucks that, Genie is now going to be out of NASCAR, too. But, honestly, it really won't change, your competitive picture much for those that actually, watch it and follow it and keep up with who's winning and the standings and stuff for the Cup. He's never really been a competitive racer. He's got a couple marquee wins under his belt, but other than that, he's really got nothing. So, good for him for making the right choice on his health. I think it's time, just because some of the series, I have to have to deal with his dad, the way his dad died on the track, too. I'm surprised it didn't come last year, but I think he'll go out with a hoorah and everybody will send him off, and he'll probably be on ESPN or Fox or somebody moving forward talking racing.
Yeah, it makes sense. I agree wholeheartedly with you. I didn't realize today that he was actually 42. I thought he was younger than that. So the fact that he's 42, and I'm looking at something that's saying most drivers around 42, 45, they start retiring. So he's right in that ballpark. And I think with the concussion thing and the fact that it took him so long to recover from the concussion last year, I agree definitely with Louis. I think the reason why he came back was probably some commitments. NASCAR was probably like, look, we just need you a couple more times out on the track. You're beloved. People love you. And, make kind of like an impromptu, go into some couple of races. He's down with Hendrick, so he's part owner of a couple cars already. NASCAR probably just asked him to do us a solid and just race a couple of races. you know, the Daytona, Bristol, you know, the marquee races. And, you know, then that way you could fade out the black and you won't fade out on the concussion crash. You know what I mean? But,
I wish him all the best, though.
Well, that and, you know, this younger group of drivers coming in, I mean, and the Busch brothers kind of started it, but, like, Keselowski and Logano and some of the younger drivers coming up, they're all turning back to that aggressive style that we used to see, you know, where, you know, Rubens Racing, you know, if you get hit, don't cry about it. Just, you know, be better than the next guy. You know, so we're getting kind of back into that more aggressive, you know, style of driving. And, you know, and Dale's a product of the NASCAR scene after his dad died that they turned everybody down. They, you know, they cranked everything down and kind of slowed it down to make it safer. And people didn't drive as aggressively because of all the injuries and the bad crashes and all of that.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, now his style doesn't mix well with the other drivers on the track. And I think he sees that too. Is, you know, I'm not aggressive enough to keep up with these young guys. I may need to dial it back.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, and it's ironic you say that because I said the same thing. They was like, you know, I was listening to a little bit on television. They were saying is, you know, you don't get the spot just because you're junior anymore. Now, I want that spot. So we're going to rub some tires. Cause I'm not just going to give it to you just because I see your number. Oh, that's junior. All right, you get that. No, now it's like, yo, I want that spot too. So, yeah, we're going to rub some, you know, same thing with Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson had to realize, dude, they not just going to get it to me because I won 3 straight cups now. Yo, these cats are like crashing them out, making them, you know, making him work for it. And like you said, you know, the competition is fierce down there. You know, it's a lot of money at stake. A lot of cats want that ride. So, yeah, you got to, you know.
A lot of money.
You got sometimes you got to do it. You know, a Kyle Busch or you got to go run up in the crowd and, you know, take a couple of shots, you know, take a couple of punches to the face, but you're bloody. But at the end of the day, you're like, yo, but them cats going to respect me and they going, you know, they're going to respect this. So, you know, yeah, I think it's time. Absolutely. Like Jimmy Johnson's supposed to retire within the next, what, this year, next year? He should be on his way out.
That's soon.
So, definitely got to change on the guard. Definitely.
Should be. And, you know, also, Jazz, I want to touch on something that broke today as well. A lot of breaking news today, and that is the news of Derek Jeter finally getting ownership in an MLB team. That's exciting, you know.
No doubt.
He's going to be co-owning of the, I think it's the Florida Marlins, and this, you know, I'm hoping that that Gibbs, I think she's listening. Remember, she said she knows Gita.
Absolutely.
We were talking about the whole baseball thing.
You
guys
going to
be part owner.
Who are we talking about?
Derek,
who?
Don't start, Louis. But I think that's very interesting that he went in with Jeb Busch, of all people.
Well, but you do understand that Lori bought that team for about maybe $100 million. $100 and some change. Yes, he bought that back in the day. He bought that team for $100 and some change. He's selling it for $1.6 billion. Now, if that ain't boxing for that ass, that's crazy.
Well, that, and they just got new owners. They just got new ownership, like, 4 years ago when they became the Miami Marlins and they changed the color scheme and they built the new stadium and they hired Ozzie Guillen and, you know, and then all of that money that they spent on trying to win a championship and it all bombed out on them. So I'm excited to see what kind of energy and what kind of thought process and, you know, how big of a role Jeter's going to have in all of this because, I mean, we're talking about, you know, one of the most respected players on the field. It was excellent at its craft. And I'm intrigued to see how, you know, kind of like the Phil Jackson or the Magic Johnson, I'm kind of interested to see how he turns and becomes the front office guy. See if he does he kind of take on a more, you know, hands-on approach, or does he say, "Oh, I'm the owner. As long as my checks don't bounce, I don't really care what's going on."
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's funny
I just want to get in, Jazz, before you say that, for Louis to adjust his mic. Our listeners, some of them are in my box, and it's hard to hear them. So just adjust your mic a little bit, because we have people that's, you know, listening to the show live and also the playback, and we want it to be clear so they can hear what you're saying.
Is that any better?
Well, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that if you – is that better?
Yes, that's better. Yes.
Well, I just
if the listeners in, let me know if they can, if that's better on Louis' end. Talk to me, guys. I know y'all are listening. Talk to me. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say, real quick, I just wanted to say that, you know, when you're talking about Derek Jeter, you know, it reminds me of basketball when Michael Jordan retired and you wanted to have a minority owner. And MJ was that guy. I think in baseball, you want a minority owner. Derek Jeter's that guy. You know, there's no question he's baseball royalty. There's no question. And
right.
If you're going to make a young guy a team owner, Derek Jeter's that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's squeaky clean, no real big brush ups with the law and the media and all that. Squeaky clean. If you're a baseball owner, this is the guy you want as the face of the Miami Marlins, especially after, like Louis said, the debacle of, you know, Ozzie Guillen and all that you probably just recovering from.
But I think in general he's going to be good for the league, you know, because of his reputation and what he does. And I think anything he puts his mind to, he's going to do it well. He's not going to half-step because that's not how he is. He is like royalty here in New York as far as his off-the-field, you know, his off-the-field life. You don't hear anything about anything bad about Jeter. And he's going to surround himself with people that know the game. And it's not going to be an old boys club. You know, I have wrote down all the players that – all the people that he is – planning to put in position, but I left a lot of my notes on my desk rushing out tonight. But he's already started assembling his team. Yes, I was. I had to catch my train, Jazz. I got
to
commute,
it's hard to be stumbling in the station. Yeah, I know it's hard stumbling in that station trying to carry papers. I understand. Just want to throw that in.
Never. I've never stumbled anywhere. But I also took a lot because I wanted to talk about the NFL draft starting on Thursday. You know, there's a lot going on with that this prep going on.
If we're going to do that, then let's get into NBA real quick. You know, got a lot popping.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your boy Russell playing right now. They up 22-16. So do you think that? Oh, first of all, since we're going to talk Russell, what do you think about the press conference? What do y'all think about the press conference? And basically he told, you know, Stephen Adams, I got this.
He didn't even say that. He just jumped in.
Yes, how do you guys feel about that? First of all, was it right or wrong? And secondly, should Stephen Adams have said something?
Go ahead, Louie. I'll let you start off.
I was actually going to let you start off because apparently, I don't watch enough press conferences because I don't know. I don't know anything about a press conference with Russell Westbrook and Steve Adams, but that's apparently where all the fun stuff is. I might need to start watching those.
Okay, then I got my opinion. You know I watch everything, but I think he was wrong. I like Russell and everything, but. It was a legitimate question asked to an NBA player. He's not a child. He has an NBA contract. So if he's sitting on a podium, then he should be asked a question, and he should be allowed to answer it. It wasn't a divisive question. The question wasn't asked to divide the team. I think it was a legitimate question. And I don't think Russell should have done what he did, and he didn't even give Adams a chance to even blink at the question. You know, he came in there on the defensive, which we can understand because of the game that had been played, but it was a legitimate question by a legitimate reporter who's been in the business for tens of years. Like,
okay,
I think 30
Louis.
Years he's been in the business.
Yeah, it's been a long time. So, Louis, what happened was in the Houston Rockets Thunder after game four, the reporter said that when Russell's on the floor, they're on the plus side, plus three or five or whatever. When he goes to the bench,
mm-hmm.
they're minus 40. So he said, he asked Steven Adams, because Steven Adams was sitting next to him. He said, yo, you know, what do you think about that? And before Steven could say anything, Russell was like, I got this. And basically said, don't divide our team. You know, you're trying to divide us. We're one team. If you're going to say anything, say that Russell and the team is not doing well, or say Russell's not doing well, but don't say that my team, you know, la, la, la. Then he was like, next question. So then the dude was like, yo, I finished my – Steven Adams didn't even say anything. He's like, yo, next question. And never asked the question, even after the press conference, even the next day. No question done.
Well,
that's what happened.
I mean, I understand where Russell Westbrook's coming from with that. I read that statement, that quote from him. I just didn't know the context of, like, he jumped in and answered the question, but I knew he said something like that. So I just figured somebody asked him about the stats.
No.
So I've seen those numbers too. I mean, I understand why Westbrook jumped in, because everybody's been saying all year that he's got nobody, he's got nobody.
Yeah.
And if we really are honest with ourselves, he's got nobody. So, I mean, it is the Russell Westbrook show. But at the same time, like, Steve Adams could have very easily been like, hey, man, you know, it doesn't matter if Westbrook's on the court or not. We're going to give we're giving our 100% every minute we're on the court, we're going at 100%. It doesn't matter if Russell's on the court or not. You know, it's just Russell makes us all better. And, you know, and we need to be better at, you know, picking up the slack when Russell needs to take a break. You know, and that's an easy answer that should have been able to have been given. But, you know, Westbrook's probably tired of hearing all the crap from the media about, you know, he's got nobody.
Yep.
So he took it personally and jumped in.
I can believe
my
that.
Take on it is that if that's the case, then he should have been on that podium by himself. If you're going to bring a player, one of your players on the podium, then he's going to have to have some input. Otherwise, take a seat in the locker room. I'm sorry, Russell was wrong for that, and I mean, I understand his frustration, but at the same time, as a business, this reporter has a job to do. He has a job to report, and that he has a job to ask questions. So everybody has a job to do. You can't just disrespect him because you and your feelings that you don't have help. That's not how the game is played. Play the game.
So now,
that's my take on it.
Okay, so now, does Houston close them out tonight?
Houston closed them out tonight. There's a possibility. Even though they're up, they've been up in this whole series. So I think it's going to be a closeout tonight.
So you think they close them out? Louis, what you think?
I'm with Tony. If they don't close them out tonight, they'll close them out the next game. I just don't see the Thunder being able to generate enough to keep up and to keep doing what they're doing. Westbrook's going to run out of gas eventually. And unfortunately, because he only knows how to play at one speed, he's going to end up costing his team a game somewhere along the lines because of it. And it's going to be awful that it's coming into the playoffs where he might cost them a big game. Because, you know, he hasn't figured out how to, you know, run in, you know, second gear instead of always running at, you know, top speed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, now, Washington, Atlanta. 2-2.
Mm.
Who wins the series? Best of three. Who y'all got?
I got Washington. Washington, Washington, Washington. The only time I'll ever say I got a Washington team over an Atlanta team.
We When you say Missoni, he's saying Washington.
He's saying Washington. You know, Atlanta doesn't have a whole lot on their team, but they're playing like it. And I don't know if Washington is playing at their peak. You know, they started off well, but that last game, it may go to seven. I think it may go to seven because I don't think that Washington is playing at the level that they can play. So it's just a matter of who's gonna play their best down the wire.
Who you got? Got to pick somebody. Now you got to pick somebody.
I'm going to go with Washington because I think Wall is going to will himself as well as his team to take it to that level because a lot of people have already written them out. They've always written them out. So they always play with us. He does. He's always playing with a chip on his shoulder. But I think he's going to will those guys and say, we got to do this. We have to do this.
Okay. Atlanta will win. Because the universe states that they will win.
They just might.
It's just simply put. It's Atlanta. Now, they going to get their ass handed to them against Cleveland. But they're going to beat Washington. They're going to beat Washington because John Wall is not being the John Wall is not being the closer he's supposed to be. That's why they're going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
And that he can
okay,
be.
That he can't
be
absolutely.
Don't call Tony and be a homer. You know good and well that Atlanta's a bunch of bums.
Tony, what you got?
I'm
what you
right
got?
There
I mean,
with
he
you.
Called you on the carpet. He called you on the carpet, man. What you got?
I said
I had Washington.
No, I'm telling Jazz to don't pull a Tony and be a homer.
Hey. I'm not being a homer, but I'm telling you now, the universe is saying Atlanta will win. Because of the way they won last night, they're going to win the series, bro. I'm telling you now.
Nah.
Okay.
Atlanta ain't They met Ernie last week and got a little rejuvenated. And I felt like, oh, we're going to go. But no, they're bums. All of them. The whole lot of them.
I'm telling you. It's the universe, baby. I'm telling you. It's like them games where you're looking at it in football, you'd be like this. It's just their year, man. The Saints. It's just their year, dude. You try to do, the ball's just bouncing their way. Right now, the ball is bouncing Atlanta's way. It just is.
At least when the Saints won the Super Bowl, they were actually, like, a really good team. Now you're just talking about picking a bunch of bums.
Hey, Howard had a double-double, man.
The whole
Howard had a double-double.
Oh,
Howard
had a
looked
double-double.
Good last night. He looked good last night.
He looked good last night.
When you're 7 foot tall, you should be able to grab 10 rebounds and put 5 buckets in. It shouldn't be that hard.
I agree.
Man.
Okay. So now
he left his gun shaking and everything. He looked like old Howard last night.
Okay. The Saints and the Grizzlies. Saints and Grizzlies. I mean, the Spurs and Grizzlies.
Man,
who
I'm going to go
who y'all got?
I got the Spurs, but let me tell you guys, that is one of the most exciting series of this whole playoffs. I am loving that series. They are leaving it out on the court. Kawhi is playing phenomenal basketball. He is doing it on both ends of the court, which is what a MVP candidate should be doing. You know, I'm going to go off on a Kawhi Leonard rant because I love me some Kawhi Leonard.
Okay.
Can you tell?
There you go. Yeah, I'm with you. Okay, so you got San Antonio. Okay. Louis, who you got?
Man, it's hard to pick against the Spurs, especially with Kawhi Leonard playing at the level that he is. It's hard. I would love just to see things get shaken up and for the status quo to break. I would love to see Memphis pull this out and make something happen here and move on and bump the Spurs. Just because, you know, I hate watching the same four teams playing the conference finals every year. I just don't see. I just don't know if Memphis is going to have enough to actually put them away.
Memphis is going to win the series, and they're going to win the series because you can't go one against three. And right now, LaMarcus Aldridge is looking, yo, he's looking terrible. So until he shows up, San Antonio going to lose. And Tony Parker is a shell of what he used to be. And there's nobody but Kawhi Leonard. He's doing a Russell. Mm-hmm. It's one against five.
That's definitely, and all the money that they're paying LaMarcus Aldridge, he should be making some type of appearance in this playoff because that's what they brought him in for. With the retirement of Tim Duncan.
Memphis always played. They've been playing San Antonio tough all year. I'm telling you. Conley's coming into his own. You got Randolph coming off the bench. Gasol making shots at the end of the game. They win the series. Tell you.
But you know, Jazz, that shot by Powell, that wasn't a whole game. Conley and Kawhi, they were going head to head. It was just an awesome game. I loved every minute of that game. It was just a give and take. You can't get better basketball than that. But they do need supporting cast. That's a definite. They do need the other stars to step up and play like a star, and earn your paycheck.
So now we have the we covered Washington. We covered Atlanta. Who we got left, y'all? I don't even know anymore.
We got Toronto.
Utah. Oh yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Toronto and Boston. Who you got?
Toronto, the Jazz. Isn't it?
No.
Well, the Jazz.
Toronto is playing. What's his name?
Milwaukee.
Milwaukee with Jason Kidd.
Yeah. So who y'all got?
I'm going with Milwaukee. I like the Bucks. It's just something about Toronto fans that just rubs me the wrong way.
Here you go. Who you got, Louie? Because she on some money.
I'm being honest.
Who you got?
Damn Canadians.
Yeah, basically, right? Ain't good for nothing.
I just want y'all to know, they have some of the nastiest fans as far as baseball. Oh, my goodness. And nothing against any of our Canadian listeners.
Here you go.
I'm going with Milwaukee.
Okay. Of course you are. Homer. Even the whole country thing is a homer. She's a homer for you. Okay. Who you got, Louis?
Just to not disenfranchise all our four Canadian listeners, I'm going to take the Raptors.
Absolutely. And you know what? I will concur with you, sir. Absolutely. So Milwaukee is still a year away, maybe two. But right now, yeah, they can't beat Toronto. So, and then we have the L.A. Clippers and the Utah Jazz. My man Gobert is back. Looking good. Who y'all got?
Mm-hmm.
No Blake.
That was.
I think the Jazz got
say.
It. Even though Chris Paul has turned back the time machine and is looking great and is playing phenomenally, I just think without Blake helping him out. You know, without Blake being a the secondary scorer on that floor for him, I just think the Jazz will be able to pull it out and take that series.
Okay, mm-hmm. What do you think, Ms. Thune?
I'm going with the Clippers, even with the reemergence of Joe Johnson, because he is playing like the old Joe Johnson. I had to look at the roster and see if it was the same kind of guy. He's playing some awesome ball, but I got faith in CP3. You know, even though he's a little older, he doesn't have that help that he usually has. But I'm going with the Jazz.
You going with the Jazz?
Yeah.
Okay. I got the Jazz also.
I'm going with the Clippers. I'm sorry. I'm going with the, I'm looking at Joe Johnson.
So okay, then we have Boston and the Bulls. Who you got?
You want me to go, Louis?
Oh, Chicago. I think Chicago's got this one.
Okay.
I'm gonna say, even though I'm New York and I don't go anything with Boston, but I think they're gonna pull it out because I think they have regrouped themselves and the visiting team has won on both courts. So if that's the case, you know the odds are that Chicago wins, but without Rondo, man, they look like they're a shell of themselves. And Isaiah Thomas has been playing awesome ball. And he has that supporting cast. And they are also playing with the edge. So I'm going to go with Boston. It hurts my heart to say that. Let the record show. It hurts my heart. But the sports host in me is going to go with Boston.
Well, if Rondo plays, if Rondo can, you know, whether he come back 6 or 7, if Rondo plays, I think Chicago wins, but the way it looks like he's not going to play. And I just don't think that without Rondo, with Rondo, they beat Boston. But without Rondo.
Oh, absolutely.
They, I think they
not
can't. They can't beat Boston without that general. And he turned, you talking about turning back Tom. Rondo looked like Boston Rondo against Boston.
He did. He was playing awesome. You know, like you said, talk about turning the backhands of time.
To me, it's one of those series that, like, it's been a toss-up. You know, it's been hard to predict who's going to win, and, you know, it's been a toss-up. So I always fall back on what team's got the best player, and right now Chicago's got the best player in Jimmy Butler, especially if Rondo comes back and keep playing at that level. Chicago turns into a dangerous team. So
absolutely. So before
but can
we
I
get
say
out
this,
here,
Louis, even though
yes.
you know, I know we have 2 minutes, even though they do have Jimmy Butler and he is all of that, that's all it is, Jimmy Butler, because Wade is not the Wade of yesteryear. At least with Isaiah Thomas, he has young talent around him. He has Al Horford. He has the guy with the braids. I forget his name. But he has supporting cast that are doing damage on the floor. So even though Jimmy Butler is there as the core of Chicago, you need more than him. And I think with the combination of him, Wade, and Rondo, that would have been the deciding factor in Chicago moving on.
So let me ask you guys a question. What you guys
okay.
Say?
I was gonna say, bro, but we're talking first round of the NBA playoffs. The first round of the NBA playoffs are won by superstars. LeBron James has shown this. 21 straight first round games he has not lost. He has swept 5 straight first round series. The dude has not lost in the first round in his career. You can win the first round of the playoffs with just one guy. It's when you get to the second round and it's when you get to the conference finals that your supporting cast starts getting, you know, exposed for being
relevant.
What they are. Yeah.
Right.
Like, if you don't have a good supporting cast, your round in the finals is not going to go well. But in the first round, you can squeak through the first round with just Jimmy Butler or just Kawhi Leonard or just Chris Paul or somebody like that. So,
we have 60 seconds, the lady just said. But also, Louis, you know, there's 2 more games to be won on both sides. The series is tied 2-2. Do you think they have enough in the tank to get 2 more wins out of them?
Superstar. Oh, I think the Bulls play a brand of basketball where they'll be able to get it done. And I think, like you were talking about, you know, we're not talking, you know, the Celtics are a super young team. They don't know, like, they haven't been through this before. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, people always take experience. That's why the Spurs, everybody always takes the Spurs and everybody takes LeBron in the playoffs because they know how to win in that situation. Dwayne Wade, Rajon Rondo know how to win in that situation. So even if they're not performing to get the W, they know what it takes to get the W, and they're helping Jimmy Butler do his thing.
True.
That makes sense.
Good point.
I like
that.
That works sense. Yeah, it makes sense. That makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with him. Yeah, I agree with him because, you know, but I do believe that at some point, you know, you have to remember that at the end of the day, like you said, championships are won by superstars. So at some point, your superstar needs help because you can't have your superstar scoring 45 a game and you losing 120 to 95. So eventually you do need help. You do need help. Yeah, you do need help eventually.
That's what's happening with them, with the OKC.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I wanted to ask you guys one last question before we go off the air. Blake Griffin, re-sign him, sign and trade, or let him leave as a free agent?
Sign and trade to the Pacers for Paul George.
We didn't even talk about that. We didn't even touch on that. That's to be touched on next week. But I think he's played his last season with the Clippers, and I agree. Sign and trade. That's the best thing to get. He's a commodity wherever he goes. You know, even sign and trade.
Here's the thing. Paul George wants to go to Los Angeles. He wants to play in the Staples Center. Bring him to the Clippers where he'll actually have a chance to compete for a championship instead of helping rebuild a team. Trade Blake Griffin because Blake Griffin becomes a beast in the East because nobody in the East really has got that strong post presence that could really slow him down except for a couple of teams. So Blake Griffin turns on the Jets and becomes a monster in the East, and Paul George gets to go play in Los Angeles like he wants to, but play for a contender instead of a pretender.
Works
for me.
I agree.
I really don't have a rebuttal for that. It makes sense.
I've already put some thought into this one.
That makes sense. I mean, I don't think that it happens, but it makes sense.
Why wouldn't it happen?
I was thinking the same thing. I was telling my husband, you know, that last game, he's on his way to L.A. Sign and trade. Blake played his last game.
It's the equivalent of when Chris Paul was a free agent and he had a deal basically signed with the Lakers, and then the league said, oh, no, you'd be better with the Clippers, and basically facilitated that.
I don't think that's going to happen again.
It makes sense. But there's two things that happen in that. One, Chris Paul got traded. Two, the NBA owned the New Orleans Pelicans or the Hornets at the time.
Yeah.
But the NBA as a league were the owners of that team. So that's why they were able to veto such a trade so quickly.
Okay.
And then the Clipper trade came in afterwards. That's not going to happen again with the league not having ownership of either team.
But you need that
superstar. That was
superstar
the key factor in that.
Chris Paul,
Paul George,
L.A. Lakers, makes sense.
But does Paul George want to go to the Lakers team that's really young and still rebuilding? No.
Yeah,
he wants to go to L.A. to win a championship. He wants to go win a championship.
You'll see posters a year from now with Magic, Kobe, and Paul George all on the billboard together. The past.
No. Unless they're promoting some like inner city brotherhood between the Lakers and the Clippers, that'll never happen.
You said inner city brotherhood.
Okay,
I put my fantasy GM hat on. This is going to work. It better work, or I'm going to look really stupid in a couple of months.
Tell you, that billboard is already in the plans, bro.
I'm just saying, if I'm Paul, if I'm Paul George, I want to go to L.A. for the star power, but I want to go play for a team that's almost there, that is in the playoffs, that's winning, that has a chance to win a title with me being added, not going to a team where I have to babysit a bunch of rookies and help teach them how to play the game in the pros and rebuild and miss the playoffs.
He could take all the last-minute shots, and he'll eventually make one because he's going to take them all.
He'd do that with the Clippers. Who else is going to take that shot? It's not Chris Paul. It's not DeAndre Jordan.
You're still going to have Austin Rivers. You're still going to have Redick. You're still going to have Paul. He's not taking the last shot.
Okay, so that means that he'll have a more open last shot because they got to guard the other three-point shooters that are out there too. I'm telling you, it's beautiful.
Do you really want him taking the last shot? We talked about last week. You don't want him taking the last shot.
I would rather him take the last shot than Lance Deep.
Is Doc going to be there? Is Doc not going to be there? That's the bigger question.
That's the bigger question. And we'll pick that up next week because we have run out of time. Once again, this show has been phenomenal.
Damn it.
We hope you guys have enjoyed it as much as we have. We got a lot covered, but we have so much more that wasn't covered. Definitely the NFL draft starting on Thursday. So
The NFL draft starts on Thursday. So since that starts on Thursday, next Tuesday is dedicated to the draft. The playoffs, because by that time the playoffs will be in the semifinal stage.
Okay. Sounds like
and we ain't
plan.
Even talking about
stay
dudes
tuned.
Getting arrested on the suspicion of rape and the diluted sample and all that. So we do all that now.
Absolutely.
Or
one set
calling
cover.
Somebody
Make sure
lazy.
You tune in.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, y'all have a good night.
All right, you too, baby.
Good night, everyone.
And Houston's up 3 on OKC, by the way.
Up, see, there it is. They're on their way.
It's already starting.
We shall see.
All right, good night, everybody.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. Good night.
All right, kick that beat for me, baby. Give me that new single right
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. I'm a boss.
I'm a boss, baby. The hot new single, baby.
Down in